my mom was outraged because one of the dance recital costumes was like $100. And she was like, this is absurd. We're not paying $100 for this costume. And so instead of paying the $100, she signed me up for horseback riding lessons.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans.
And Karen, as usual, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Mane & Tail, Karen.
Only the best.
Only the best. We love Mane & Tail. You know, we always talk about all the different horse products that Mane & Tail puts out. But you know what? They do have a full line of beauty products for you and me, Karen.
They sure do.
So do you have a favorite product that you'd like to use for Mane & Tail?
I think I would have to say it's the hair strengthener.
The hair strengthener. I've definitely seen that on your beauty counter.
I love using it. I tell you what, it really has strengthened my hair. I have less split ends, and it's actually, I get a little thin in certain areas, and it's actually been growing.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love your hair, but I know you've always had, I know you've always complained about, you know, your hair being a little thin, and you're always picking at your split ends and all that stuff. So, and I see you using this, and I do see an improvement. So let's hear all about it, Karen.
So it is a daily protective and fortifying leave-in treatment for stronger, healthier hair. It nourishes and repairs. It provides essential protection to help prevent split ends, protects hair strands from heat and chemical styling, which I do a lot. I do a lot of that. Provides additional moisturizing and conditioning protection. It is alcohol free and it's safe and gentle for all hair types.
That's wonderful. So, like I say, I know you've been using it and you love it. And we asked the folks over at Mane & Tail, hey, can we talk about the beauty products because they are so fantastic? So, because the audience, the horses aren't listening, Karen.
No, they're not.
You know what I mean? It's the people. So, I use the products, you use the products. So, we're going to start, you know, mixing in some of the beauty products along with the horse care line. So, check it out at maneandtail.com if you want to learn more about the products. And we just got to say thanks again to Mane & Tail for all their support over the years. Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Triple Crown. Big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there. Mm-hmm. Premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
TripleCrownFeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
TripleCrownFeed.com.
They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people to support the show. Trish Scott has got us covered, and she can cover you, too. She took care of our horse, off-the-track thoroughbred Mercury, ridden by our son, Joe. Trish is with us to talk a little bit about equine insurance. Trish, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. You increased our horse's value. Can you tell us a little bit about why we had to increase his value?
Well, the biggest thing is that you bought him a year ago. Joe's been working with him directly, taking him to all these shows, exposing him, training him, the monthly fees, the daily work. So all that training that he's done, all the showing that he's done, how where he's placed, I was able to approach several different carriers. Praetorian is where he is right now. And just by showing them his records, his training fees, I was able to substantially really increase Mercury's value because that's a whole year of training and showing under his, you know, that Joe has been doing with him that you now have insured, you know, under this policy with Praetorian.
Gotcha. So, hey, it's important to make sure that your horse is properly valued when you're insuring them. So, Trish, if people want to talk to you about their insurance for their equine friends, how do they get a hold of you?
Oh, just call myself. The best way to reach me is 484-319-8923.
I am loving my new Monaco wedges by Fairfax & Favor.
Yes, I saw them on your Tootsies the other day. They are very, very cute.
And not only cute, but they're also very comfortable.
Yeah, so they have a couple of really cool details as all Fairfax & Favor shoes have, Karen. So what are some of the cute little details you'll find on these shoes?
So mine is the navy blue suede, and they have a navy blue tassel on the heel in the very back. And they also have the Fairfax & Favor shield, their logo, embossed in the front.
Yeah, very, very well done. Very tasteful. but they definitely stand out. They're set apart from other wedges out there.
They sure are.
The tassel is a signature of Fairfax and Favor. So that and the shield. So it's very cool that they incorporate them. And are they comfortable? How do they feel?
Very comfortable. I could wear them all day.
That's fantastic. And that's important for you. And so how do people find out more, Karen?
They can go to fairfaxandfavor.com.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen. And we're your hosts of the Major League Eventing Podcast. And Robbie, we have another great guest today.
Yes, super excited.
So really excited. She's got a really cool way of getting owners for an up-and-coming horse of hers. She's an upper-level rider. Welcome to the show, Martha Wonder.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Yeah, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on. I'm a big fan, and I'm really excited to be on the podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. So, Martha, before we get started, we always love to know where our guests are coming to us from. So where are you at right now?
I am sitting in my kitchen at the farm in Bluemont, Virginia.
Very nice. So where at in Virginia is that? I've never heard of Bluemont.
It's Northern Virginia. We're about 20 minutes from Morven Park.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Okay.
Just down Route 7 there. Yeah.
Okay.
A great spot.
Great location. Lots of good events close by. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of good riders in that area as well. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
For sure. Yeah. There's a lot of access to good training here, good facilities. It's a great spot.
All right. Well, Martha, since I know you know the show, but can you take us back and tell us how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Sure. I'd be glad to. So going way back, I suppose, I was a very, animal crazy little kid. We had dogs and cats, and I had guinea pigs that I would walk on leashes, and, just loved the animals. And my dad would, he helped me to build little agility jumps, and I would jump my dogs in the backyard. And so always kind of thought jumping was a neat thing. And of course, always had an interest in horses, definitely the kid that had more ponies than Barbies. but my parents weren't really taking the bait on that, but I was very interested in horses from a young age. We love to tell the story, and I think it's probably gotten better in the telling, but the story of how I first got signed up for lessons. I was doing, all the normal activities that kids would do, soccer and dance and that sort of thing. And my mom was outraged because one of the dance recital costumes was like $100. And she was like, this is absurd. We're not paying $100 for this costume. And so instead of paying the $100, she signed me up for horseback riding lessons.
Oh.
So yeah, that was a big mistake. If she was trying to make a good financial choice, that was not it. But that is how I got signed up for lessons originally. And I started out at a place called Kingwood Equestrian School. It was a lesson barn in a suburb of Houston, Texas. And we chose it because it was behind my parents' gym. So it was all about the quality, of course. But actually, it was a great place to get started riding. And so I started doing that probably when I was about 7 or 8. And then on top of that, my Aunt Kathy lives in New Jersey, and she's a horse person and has a farm and horses. And so I got to spend summers with her, and she and her husband at that time were into the hunter jumper scene. They were training with Nona Garson. They had really good quality horses, and that was sort of my first exposure to performance type programs. And they were so wonderful to me when I went there in the summers. They always had fabulous horses for me to ride. I got to show a little bit on the A circuit. So that was really neat. And then that was also my first real exposure to very high level care. My aunt to this day, like, her level of care is second to none. All of her horses live until they're like mid to late 30s. They just won't die because she takes too good a care of them. So that was a really neat experience for me as well. Then in middle school, I moved to Central Illinois with my family. My dad had a job change, and that's where I got introduced to eventing. So I started out leasing a horse named Miss Liberty, a thoroughbred mare, and ended up buying that horse. She was an eventer. and a bit of a quirky horse. She had a bad habit of, you know, breaking the cross ties and running around loose. And she actually, we had an incident once where I was leading her at the farm and some cows startled her and she leapt forward and, you know, kicked me right in the chin. You know, she just had a way of kind of doing some goofy stuff. But she was an amazing cross-country horse, and I was able to jump my first log up through my first seasons of training level, never had a stop. And, you know, of course, she made me believe I was much, much better than I was, but she just made it so fun. So I was hooked very quickly, really thanks to that horse. At least in large part, I'd say the other reason I got hooked was I got connected up with a trainer. Her name's Kiki Osborne. She's actually in Charlottesville now. But she was amazing. She let me be a working student from a really early age. And she taught me everything. You know, she taught me there are no shortcuts. It's hard work. So you better love the work because that's what it's going to be. She let me ride a lot of different kinds of horses, green horses, ponies, schoolmasters. She let me compete. Some of these horses, she really gave me a lot of riding opportunities. She gave me my first exposure to training off the track thoroughbreds. And that's been a huge part of my business and my career. So I'm really thankful for that. And she also, like my aunt, she really emphasized the importance of good horse care. And she really took the time to show me that stuff. And I know now as a professional myself, it's really hard to carve out that time to teach that kid to braid or to help them with their bandaging. But you know, if they want to learn, you really need to do it. And I'm very fortunate that Kiki did that for me. The other thing she did for me that was great is she, when I was in high school, she took me on a 2-week trip and we came out here to Area 2 and competed. And that's where I got to see this area and see what it had to offer and realize if this is what I want to do, this is where I need to be. And so it took a little bit of doing, but as quickly as I was able after high school, I moved out here, and that's kind of brings us up to when I started doing it professionally.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I have seen, you know, I took a look at your website and everything, and I really loved kind of all like the stories and everything that's on it. I see that you're also an A-rated pony clubber. Is that right?
I am. Yeah. So I joined Pony Club when I moved to Illinois. And I'm proud to say I'm a graduate A, and I went through the traditional system. So before they had the specialties, and also not to brag, but it was back when you couldn't fail a section without repeating the whole thing. So it was, you know, it was a really good experience. And Kiki encouraged that for sure.
I'm sure that was tough, that A.
Goodness. Yeah, once you get to his national rated, you know, ratings, or they get tough. They stop giving you any breaks.
They are. I think it's a good challenge for kids. And I really like the emphasis on the horse management as well. I think that's so important.
It is. It is. And even if, you know, while you're in Pony Club, you hear the kids saying, oh, why do we have to do it this way? Why do we have to do it? And then later on in the years, you actually see them doing it and they don't realize that they're doing it. And then they get it.
Yeah, it's a really good experience. And it is, you know, it's tedious for sure. And sometimes you're like, this is silly. But I also think that's part of the game of life, right, is figuring out how to play by the rules and figure out how to make it work. And, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Exactly. Yeah. For sure. A lot of great experiences in Pony Club for sure.
So, and Martha, I guess that kind of brings us to today. So now you are running Rax Run Eventing. Can you tell us a little bit about what you have going on?
Yeah. So, so I've got the barn in Bluemont, as I said, and we try to keep the number around 15 horses. And, you know, we've got a couple of right now, like a couple yearlings and my old retired guy. But for the most part, what we offer is a full training program. And, you know, I've noticed that sometimes that's a little bit daunting for people. They hear full training and they think, you know, that's either for someone who wants the professional to ride their horse exclusively or for a really, you know, intense competitor. And it is great for those things. But I also think it's really great for some of the in-betweens. You know, we've got I've got a kid, 12-year-old kid, you know, trying to go beginner novice with her quarter horse. I've got a rider trying to move their young horse up to modified prelim, and kind of everything in between, adult amateurs with young horses. We've got schoolmasters. And the way that full training kind of works for them is it's whatever they need it to be. So if they need, you know, two lessons and a training ride, done. If they're out of town for work for 10 days, I'm going to tune that horse up while they're gone. If they need, you know, some extra lessons gearing up, but also if they want to go for a trail ride with their friends, it doesn't have to be intense unless you want it to be. And I think people might be surprised actually at how affordable that is when you start adding up kind of the piecemeal lessons and such. You'll get to that full training price or beyond faster than you think. So I just kind of want to touch on that because I think people are sometimes intimidated by full training, but I found it works really well. And then the people are really, you know, in the program. I'm invested in them. They're invested in my program. And it's really fun. And it's a great team atmosphere as well. That's kind of what we've got going on here.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing I love about doing these interviews is you learn different ways people run their businesses. And I think that's really cool that you are able to, specialize in those people who either want to have fun or be serious or in between. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. What I tell people when, you know, if they inquire about training here, I just say, hey, what are your goals? You know, and then those goals become my goals. And for some people, maybe their goal is, I want to take some lessons. I want to learn a little bit, but I want to be safe and have fun. Great. Let's do that. Some people like, you know, I have a young horse and my goal is to get it to go beginner novice. You know, it's kind of whatever your goals are. And I think when you're in a good team, it's not just the trainer, it's the other riders as well. Everyone supports everyone. And, you know, I think it really works out in that really supportive atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. I think that really, you know, teamwork and just having a good environment, good positive environment is important for a lot of people.
Oh, for sure. And I feel that too. Like, you know, even as a professional, like, you know, you having people behind you, it matters. It makes a big difference. I think this horse thing is not just we love the horses. That's what brings us all together. But it's also only as fun as the people you get to do it with, right. You know? And so I feel that too. Like, I love going to the students, whether I'm riding, they're riding, or both. It just makes it better that it's such a good group.
Yeah. And I'm sure it kind of motivates you if they're having fun and doing well. And I'm sure that kind of gets you motivated to want to keep going.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's awesome. So, all right. So you do the training. Now, do you do boarding and sales? Anything like that?
So we don't do any straight boarding. Like I said, anyone who boards is kind of part of the training program. We do some sales. You know, we do some consignment sales, and we do a fair number of off-the-track thoroughbreds for resale. But focus more on the training than the sales, for sure. We usually have a couple of sales, but not too many.
Yeah. All right. So we see on your website, you have something called Marley's Corner, and it's a way to get people into becoming a part of a young horse that you have going on. So can you tell us a little bit about that and about the horse?
Yeah. I'd love to start by telling you a little bit about the horse. So her name is Marley. Her show name is Honest Smile. That was also her jockey club name. And she's an 8-year-old, 15-2 on a good day, a thoroughbred mare that I've been lucky enough to have in my life for about 4 years now. She kind of has a fun story as to how I acquired her. As I mentioned to you earlier in the interview, I do, you know, off the track. Thoroughbreds are a large part of my program, whether it's for resale or for clients or whatever. And so I do a fair bit of going, finding horses off the track and then bring them home to retrain them. So I had decided to go to Kentucky to look at some possible resale prospects and happened to do it the same weekend as not Rolex, Land Rover. It's so hard to kick that habit. So I decided to go look at some horses, buy some horses, brought my trailer, and also watch Kentucky while I was there. So I'd picked out, you know, a number of appropriate resale, which generally means big geldings with some chrome or something that are quiet and move nicely enough. They don't have to jump big. They just have to, you know, go novice, go training, be good horses. So I picked out a couple, and I typically shop with cash so that I don't overspend. So I bring X amount of cash and I say, this is it. This is my limit. And I had a very little bit left over. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this horse just hauling across the mare field, tail straight up in the air, causing a huge ruckus, you know, but looking very beautiful and athletic. And I was like, huh, I'm kind of interested in that one. Maybe you guys could catch her. And she said, oh, we call that one the Greyhound. And I'm still not sure if that's because she was fast or because she was so skinny, but it might've been both. So they finally did catch her and they brought her in, and she only had one of her four racing plates left on. She had ripped all of her other shoes off. She was indeed very thin and also very small. But I liked something about her. She had this presence, this just kind of confidence, like, hey, are you guys here to see me? Of course you are. You know, that's just kind of how she is. So I said, well, I'd like to see her go. Unfortunately, we didn't have a girth small enough for her. And so I was like, I'm not getting on, you know, the racehorse with this super loose girth. But a very brave exercise rider got on her in a race saddle with a dangling, like the girth was just dangling below her belly, and just trotted her and cantered her around. And I just loved her. I was really, and I don't know if it was a bit, you know, Kentucky weekend, you're super inspired and you're like, you know, I can see this horse galloping down to a big jump, and it was definitely an impulse buy situation. So I said to them, well, I have $750 left. If you'll take it, you can put her on the trailer and I'll take her off your hands. And to my surprise, they accepted that. So we wrapped her three bare feet up and loaded her on the trailer and took her home. And that's how I was able to acquire her initially. But as I mentioned, I was, you know, in the business of selling these horses, not keeping them. And so I got home, I got her going, and she was every bit as wonderful as I thought she was going to be. Super balanced, super, you know, light, really brave to the jumps, but rideable, just really lovely. And a good friend of mine at the time was looking for a young horse. And so I called her and said, I've got this awesome horse. You got to come ride her. I think this is going to be the horse for you. So she came down, rode her, loved her, vetted her. And on the vetting, we discovered that she had juvenile cataracts.
Oh.
And, you know, so that was a very unexpected discovery. And obviously my friend decided not to purchase her because we're kind of like, didn't quite know what all of that meant and so on and so forth. So I ended up taking her to UPenn and going down the whole ophthalmology rabbit hole, and sort of the long and the short of it is she has these significant cataracts, but she's had them her whole life and has sort of adjusted to them. And we get them checked every 6 months. But what was told to me is like, if she's having a problem, she'll let you know. Otherwise, you know, if she's not spooky and she's not nervous about the jumps, clock on. And so I was like, well, good thing I like this horse because I don't think she's real saleable anymore. And so let's go on with it. So that's what led me to decide to keep her. And since then, she's just moved up the levels with complete ease. She's in her second season at prelim. We're aiming to do our first two short at Great Meadow and then a two long in the fall. And she's got amazing natural instincts on cross country. You know, she can pat the ground, get out of any situation. She's super straight. She's adjustable. And she's brave without being too much of a beast. She's just kind of everything that you want. And she's a great show jumper, which is fabulous for me because that's my weakest phase for sure. So that's kind of how Marley came into my life and how she's moved up the levels. And, you know, I think, you know, people ask me, well, what's so special about her? You know, and I've ridden quite a few horses, and I've had some good ones and some athletic ones and some ones that I really, really like, but this horse sort of has that it factor, you know, that you sit on her and you just kind of feel like you could you could jump anything. And I'm not a terribly brave person. So that feeling, you know, is very meaningful to me. She's the type where when the job gets bigger, she gets bigger, you know, she just really feeds off of a challenge and just gets better every time. And I think the other thing that's really special with her is that she and I just have a really great relationship. You know, she and I have done everything together from the beginning, and I feel like she trusts me and I absolutely trust her. And it's been so fun having her. I've said it to a few people that not since that first horse, Miss Liberty, you know, back when I was 12, have I had a horse that I just really loved and trusted and just had just sheer fun. I mean, just so much fun with her. And that's been a really special experience. So that's Marley. That's sort of her story. Stop me if I'm babbling on.
No, this is great. Yeah. I think that's an awesome story. You know, finding her in the field and her showing off and then only one shoe and
yeah. So that's Marley. And I'm happy to tell you about Marley's Corner.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So Marley's Corner, it's basically a club, and I started it for two reasons. The first one is kind of obvious, you know, it's having done it myself in the past, it's very challenging, you know, as a horse trainer to self-fund completely an upper level horse. And, you know, so the initial reason, of course, was financial, to get some people who wanted to get behind her and sort of help support us in that way. The other reason I did it is because I wanted to have fun with it. And as I mentioned, you know, earlier when we were talking about the training program, we come to it for the horses. We all love the horses, and God knows I love Marley. It's everyone's sick of hearing about it. Trust me. I really love that horse, but it's really only as fun as the people you get to do it with. And so bringing some people in to just amplify the whole experience. And I think it makes it so much better for me having that support and really feeling that. And what's been really fun is seeing how much the people in the club enjoy it, and they're really invested in her. And like, they really have a team to root for. We went to the Essex Horse Trials about a month ago, which I highly recommend anyone who hasn't gone, go. It's so fun that you feel has a really big event feel, you know, gallop lanes, tailgates all around the water, cheering, you know, it's they do the show jumping in the evening and there's a cocktail party, and like it has a really big event feel. And we had all of our Marley's Corner people there, and going through that water and hearing them cheering for her, it was like nothing I've ever experienced, and they really got a kick out of it too. So the second reason we did it is really to have fun, and it's pretty simple how it works. It's really affordable. It's $50 a month. And we ask you to commit to 6 months up front so that you can really get a feel for what it's like to be in the club and see if it's for you. After that, there's no commitment. If you want out at any point, you just say, hey, can't do it anymore, no problem. But we, of course, hope everyone stays on. And what the members get in return is they're getting updates directly from me on how Marley's training is going, what we're working on, what our goals are. I like to get a lot of video of her and her training sessions. And of course, it shows if the members aren't able to make it and make sure they get those videos. They can come watch training sessions with her. And then we also do some social stuff just as a club, you know, just little meetups. And it's just a lot of fun. We have a lot of different people, types of people that are in the club. We've got some riders, we've got some eventers, we have some people from other disciplines, we have some non-horse people, you know, and also kind of spread out. You know, my parents, God bless them, they're the original members, and they're out in Colorado, but we've got a couple in New Jersey, one family in Memphis, so kind of all over, which that's also really fun. So it's really a club for anyone who's interested that wants in on the fun and the excitement. Like we'd love to grow the club and have more members for sure.
That sounds really neat.
Yeah, such a cool idea.
Yeah, it is a really neat idea. I like that. You know,
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, I like how I love another thing about this show is I love hearing all the different ways people are, you know, financing their horses, I guess you could say. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, getting support behind them and, you know, just finding their own little ways of doing it. And this is a really cool idea. I really like this idea.
This is nice because, you know, obviously syndication's a big part of the sport, especially for making it up to the upper levels. But, you know, not everyone has the money to try to jump in on these, you know, six figure horses or anything. So this is a nice kind of way for anyone to join in.
For sure. It's, you know, for me, it started because I'm kind of uncomfortable with asking people for money, right? It kind of feels like, well, geez, like if they're going to give money away, shouldn't they do it to some charitable, you know, cause
or
something like that? So it kind of started because I was stuck in this place where I knew I needed help. There's just no way I can do it and do it right by myself. So I knew I needed help, but I felt uncomfortable with the whole thing. And this just seems like a really affordable way, a low commitment way for people to make a really big impact on me and on Marley. But like I said, it's affordable and it's really low commitment, especially compared to like a syndicate.
Yeah. And how often do they get updates and all that stuff?
You know, it kind of depends what's going on. Like this past month or so, Marley and I have been really focusing on dressage. Not shockingly, that's her least favorite phase. And so she's been jumping so well that I'm like, all right, we got to really shift focus and do the dressage. And so they've been getting, you know, weekly and sometimes bi-weekly updates on that because we've been doing a lot of lessons and a lot of dressage shows. And it's really fun. Like I've gotten feedback from some of my members, you know, they'll notice something in the video and they'll point it out and it's really helpful. Like they're very engaged in what she's doing. And so there've been a lot of updates lately. Sometimes when there's not that much going on, it'll just be more like, oh, you know, here's what Marley did at the show sort of thing. So it kind of varies, but definitely regular check-ins.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I like that. Awesome. Well, so is there anything else going on in your business before we move on? I really like everything so far. I mean, it's really cool.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think we kind of covered, you know, mostly the training here at the barn and Marley and, you know, just kind of the usual.
Awesome. Now, how long have you had Marley?
So I got her just before she turned 4 and she's 8 now. So okay. I've had her 4 years. Yeah.
Okay. And you said she's going prelim right now, getting ready to do 2-star. Yep,
exactly. Yep. Aiming for a 2-short at Great Meadow and then a 2-long later in the fall.
Awesome. And 15-2. Oof.
Yeah.
And she's short and she's very small too. We call her small master here at the barn because she's small, but she's mighty and she's definitely in charge. She has all the horses and all the humans whipped. So we all bow down to small master.
That's cute. Yeah. Awesome. All right. So Martha, we're going to move along. We are going to play quick fire questions.
All right.
And quick fire questions is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Get your all weather outerwear by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. So, you know the show. 5 questions, and you don't have to be quick, but very strict grading at the end.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. So, question number 1. Favorite rider growing up?
I would say Mark Todd. I read his book when I was a kid and was just like, oh my gosh, this person is amazing. And, you know, so yeah, I would say Mark Todd.
Yeah. Very good.
Very good one.
Yeah. Sir Mark Todd, actually.
Oh gosh. I've offended him.
I'm sure he won't mind.
I'll let it slide.
All right. Any good luck rituals or superstitions before you go out cross country?
So I was thinking about this one. I wouldn't say anything specific to cross country, but something that has maybe become a little bit of a superstition for me is my best friend, who's Lorianne, who you guys have corresponded with. She, I don't know, a few years ago, she started just telling me before she's at most of the shows, and before I go into dressage or go into show jumping or out of the box, she'd say, just do your best. And
Now I feel like if she doesn't tell me that, I don't do my best. Maybe my only superstition. And sometimes if she's not at the show, she'll text me just do your best. And that seems to work as well.
There you go. That's a good one. I do the same thing. My other son, Joe, who rides before he goes cross country, I always say, be safe and have fun. You know, just
that's all you got to do, right? If you do those two things, man, you're golden.
Yeah. And
that's good.
I say good luck, be safe and have fun. And I feel like if I don't say it, then I have bail. You know, like it's for me. It's not for him, but yeah.
It's your karma.
It's my karma.
Well, he might not admit it, but I bet it helps him too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't even know if he hears me half the time. But all right. So, if eventing was not an option, what other riding discipline would you want to try?
That would definitely be dressage. I spent a little bit of time working at a straight dressage barn when I was younger, and I really do love it. I said at the time when I was working at that barn, if I had more money, I might switch. Because, you know, unlike eventing where you can get your $750 horse and do quite well, you've got to have a pretty nice, expensive horse to do dressage. But I could see myself making the switch. It's fun how a Grand Prix dressage horse has just as much power as an advanced event horse. It's just channeled a different way. Yeah. So I think it's pretty exciting to ride at those upper levels in dressage.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I wouldn't mind sitting on a really good schoolmaster dressage horse, you know.
What's Total S up to?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
You said that you are a Major League Eventing podcast listener. So what was your favorite interview?
Oh, no, you are putting me on the spot.
Got to change up the quick fire questions, especially for the ones that listen to the show.
Yeah, you already prepared for it, it sounded like.
I tried to prepare, so you're really throwing me for a loop. So I cannot think of what my favorite one is. I would really have to go back and look at them. But I can tell you the one that I listened to most recently that definitely had an impact on me was the one with the gal who started Main Street Market. You know, that was a really interesting interview, and it made me, and I ended up reaching out to her as a result.
Awesome.
Because it just made me think, you know what? I do need to put more thought into how we market these horses, and not just what makes sense to me, but what makes sense to the buyer. So that was a really good one, but there have been a lot of good ones. So don't hold me to that one as my favorite, because it might not be my favorite, but that is the one coming to mind.
Yeah. India Wilkinson, she gave a lot of good pointers in that. I really enjoyed having her on and just, you know, talking about the different do's and don'ts of advertising a sale horse. It was very informative, for sure.
It was. And, you know, when she said to reach out to her, she wasn't kidding, because I reached out to her and she responded immediately. So anyone who's looking to maybe make a change in how they're marketing their sale horses, I think she's a really great resource.
Definitely. Yeah. Big shout out to India. So
yeah.
Awesome. All right. So I know this is probably the question you've been waiting for.
Yep.
If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
So I think it would be Salinero. Do you remember that horse?
Ooh, I don't know.
He was a dressage horse, and definitely before... it's the one that was so amazing, Blueberries. Before Blueberries, he's more like... it was 10 years ago when he was doing the Olympics. It was a horse that Anki rode, and just gorgeous, moving powerhouse, super hot. And that was that horse was going really well at the time that I was working at the dressage barn. And I just remember being so taken with him. And she also had some like amazing freestyles, which, you know, the music can just make it like that much more magical. And so I always thought, oh, man, I'd love to sit on that horse. I probably couldn't. I'd probably be scared, but, you know, I'd love to give it a try.
I have to look that one up. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, YouTube it. YouTube Anki Salinero, and you'll get some really good freestyles.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
A++.
Yeah. Good job.
Awesome. Now, you know, Martha, you've obviously have done quite a lot, and you're getting started on your own business, or you've been going for a while. Do you have any advice for, you know, any young rider looking to make it in the sport?
Yeah, I think I'd probably say two things. The first thing I would say is try to work for someone in the beginning that will really truly invest in you. I think sometimes, not to say that can't be a big name person, but I don't think it has to be. And I think sometimes someone who's not a big name, but that really is a good rider and a good teacher, and maybe because their career isn't as, you know, whatever the word is, as amazing as some of these top guys, they have a little bit more time to spend with you. And that was my experience for sure with Kiki. She was an excellent rider and an excellent coach, but she wasn't a top name person going to the Olympics. So she took time to help me with my wrap. She let me ride all of her horses. And I think, you know, there was a time where I felt like, oh man, I wish I'd, you know, gone and worked for the O'Connors or something like that, because there's some status there and certainly some good connections and obviously some good training. But I think I got a lot more out of someone who really invested in me. So I think that would be my first piece of advice. And the other would be just expect it to be hard and expect it to stay hard. So, you know, some things as you know, become a professional and go out on your own, some things do get easier, but they're just replaced by other hard things. So expect it to be hard and expect it to stay hard.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. No, yeah. But I so do.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. I do like your advice about, you know, you don't have to go to those top riders to, you know, to work and to learn from. There's so many other riders out there that, like you said, aren't as popular, I guess you would say, and can actually give you that attention that you really do need. And I think that's a good piece of advice.
And I think the top level riders, it's not, and many of them, I'm sure, do an excellent job with their working students. But I do think some of them, it's not because they don't want to, but they do not have the time. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time to really teach someone from the ground up. But if you find that person, it's so amazing. It's really, really worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah. Great advice. Great, great advice.
Yeah.
So we're going to also throw in another question. So what are your future goals going forward?
Oh, well, I've ridden through the intermediate level, and obviously I would like to go advanced. And not having done that, it'll be the blind leading the blind with Marley and I, but, you know, I can only compare her to the horse I took intermediate, and she's got a lot more scope and a lot more of all the things. So I feel pretty confident she's going to be that horse. So that's really my big goal, is to go advanced with Marley. And, you know, I guess everyone would say dream big and aim for the 5-star, but I think going advanced would be pretty epic. So I'd say that's my big goal.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, that's still the pinnacle of the sport, basically. So, I mean, it's not any, you know, absolutely, slight goal or anything like that.
It looks plenty hard to me.
Stables are pretty tall.
Yes, they are. Master can do it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Nah, yeah. You'll get there. You'll get there. Put it out in the universe, so you'll get there.
That's right. I said it on a podcast, so now it's like it's real.
It's there forever.
Awesome. And, you know, Samartha, one thing we do like to do is kind of give you a platform to shout out any of your sponsors or supporters. So, you know, who do you have backing you that you like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, great. Thank you. So I've got some really great sponsors. Schleza Saddlery has been a sponsor of mine for quite some time now, and they do a great job fitting the saddles to the horse and the rider. Tribute Equine Nutrition. They have great grains and also great resources to figure out what products are best for your horses. They've been really helpful with Marley in particular. Maria Kimball is our massage therapist, and she is also a sponsor, and she's awesome doing all of our body work. Marley loves her. They meet every Friday, and Marley glares at me and says, "Go away. This is my special time with Maria." So I just have to leave. Country Lane Embroidery. They're local here in Northern Virginia, and she does all of our embroidery and has sponsored Marley's Corner. Coat Defense is a new sponsor, but we've been using their products for a long time, and they're fabulous. And then, of course, all of my Marley's Corners members, they're, you know, amazing supporters, and I'm super, super thankful to have them.
Yeah, and definitely want to give a shout out to Lorianne Venter for setting this whole thing up. She contacted us and said, you know, we got to get you on. And, you know, big thank you to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lorianne's the best. She's my best friend. She's a rider. She's a great student and client. She's in Marley's Corner, and she's also our marketing extraordinaire. So she does all of our social media and all of that stuff. So she wears a lot of hats around here, and, extremely thankful to have her in my life for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then final question, how do our listeners follow along? And if they want to get involved in Marley's Corner, how do they go ahead and do that?
Yes. So Lorianne's going to kill me that I don't have like all the exact things written down here, but we do have a Facebook page. So my business is Rax Run Eventing. That's R-A-X, Rax Run Eventing. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram. And then we have a website, raxruneventing.com. And if you go to the website, there is a link to all the information about Marley's Corner that we kind of talked about. But also you can reach straight out to me or to us on Facebook, or my phone number is on the website as well. Give me a call. So anyone you reach out to will be able to funnel you towards me if you're interested in Marley's Corner.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
yeah, this was great.
This was great. Martha, it was so great getting to know you. And, you know, we loved hearing all about your business and how you do things. I think that's really interesting. And, you know, good luck with the Marley and, you know, getting to advanced.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. This was really fun. I really appreciate you having me on and giving me this opportunity.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and never miss an episode of the Major League Eventing Podcast.